speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's Charisma Coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary Gardner, and today we are talking about something that every single person listening has asked themselves at some point. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And why, even when life looks successful on the outside, sometimes it feels just off? Well, I work with high achievers, executives, leaders, and people who have done everything right, and yet they still feel like something is missing. They're busy, they're accomplished, but they're not always fulfilled. And here is what I found. It's not a success problem. It is a purpose problem. And when you don't know your purpose, you second guess yourself, you hesitate, you play smaller than you're capable of. But when you know your purpose, everything changes. You become clearer, stronger, more decisive, more aligned. So today's show is going to be incredibly powerful because we're bringing on someone who has spent decades helping people answer that exact question. And I want you to ask yourself, do I really have a purpose in life? Why is my purpose so hard sometimes? And how can I actually make a difference? Well, joining me today is someone who's dedicated his life, as I said, to helping people answer those questions. Kevin McCarthy is the creator of OnPurpose.me, where in just a couple of minutes, you're going to discover your purpose in two words. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, Mary, it's great to be with you. It's just great to reflect on all the years we've known each other and
yes,
and all the good things. But thank you. What a great introduction.
Well, I've been so excited about this because literally, I mean, the people that I work with are struggling. There is a lack of intention in today's world because people are so stressed out. The economy is tough. And a lot of people are failing. And when I meet people like this, they may have made a lot of money, but they are not happy. And so I'm really excited about this conversation today. And I really want to ask the very first thing. I mean, the very practical thing is, what is purpose and how does it make a difference in our life?
Sure. Purpose is your reason for being, is one way to look at it. I mean, there's lots of different facets to that. Whenever you're looking at understanding your purpose, it's kind of answering this question, why am I here? It's different, though, from vision, mission, and values. And so a lot of people confuse what they do with who they are. And as a result, what they do is their missions. That's their activities. Their vision is where they want to go, where they see themselves in the future. And their values are how they govern their decisions and their choices. So where purpose is answering this question, why am I here? Vision is where am I going? Missions are how am I going to get there? And values are what's important along the way. Mm-hmm. And when you articulate those four things, you have a much better chance of having really a confident, peaceful mm-hmm. life. And, you know, from the point of view of success, that may be a byproduct that comes of that. I think one of the really important elements that I try to help people with mm-hmm. is understanding the sort of the cause and effect.
Yeah.
A lot of people are looking for the effect of success.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They want the money, the status, the position, yeah. and all mm-hmm. of that goes with it. Mm-hmm. But at some level, so they pursue that. Or if it's a business, they're looking for profits only.
Yeah.
Where if you back up a little bit and you look at what's the cause, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And then you articulate that very clearly and cleanly, mm-hmm. you have a permanent place in the craziness of mm-hmm. the world
yes.
that you can go back to as sort of a touchstone and use your purpose that way. So that therefore, when you are answering these questions of why am I here, where am I going, how yeah. will I get there, and what's important along the way, that helps you to be on purpose.
Yeah.
It's a high standard, but it's actually fairly fast and easy to do.
I know. You have an amazing system to do it. And that can bring meaning to a job that's drudgery. Because I know that at one point, and we're going to talk about my purpose, but I believed at one point is that I was supposed to bring hope and joy to people. And so I can do that anywhere. I can do that when I'm horseback riding. I can do that when I'm talking to clients, prospects, here in the radio station. So is that something that when you find your purpose, you really can then create more excitement and passion for a drudgery job?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yes, you can, mm-hmm. because ultimately we bring meaning to the work. The work
yes.
doesn't give us meaning.
Right.
The work is neutral.
Okay.
And I think when people understand that that's the case, then, and that your responsibility then is to bring meaning to the work. That's the power of what's going on. So you can find that meaning is, and it's going to be different for different people.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here, you're doing your radio hosting and everything, and that's meaningful for you. It's meaningful for me to be able to share this message, but yes. Collectively together, we're basically both helping people to understand who they are. And by the way, a big part of purpose is your identity.
Mm-hmm. That's huge right now.
Which is huge because people don't know who they are. Yeah. And purpose answers that question, why and vision, where, and it gives them a deeper sense of their identity. So all of these things sort of are amalgamated in one thought but what I try to do is almost like a dissection. I try to pull it apart, understand the pieces. And then once you understand the pieces, what each one means, and then you articulate each.
Yes, you separate it.
Then you can reintegrate them.
It's a building process.
Right. You just reintegrate them into a meaningful whole.
Yeah.
But at some level, you've got to start with the dissection.
And when I'm talking to an executive, I met a gentleman the other day on the phone, and he is a Harvard professor or teacher, and he is very intelligent. He has reached the pinnacle of success. He's made all the money. And I still saw a lack of passion. He's already done everything. So there's so many people that have done that in business. They have had the money. They've had the success. They've had all the accolades. And then, I don't know, for me, when I got on the phone, I'm like, well, tell me what you've loved. You know, what has been that thing that's really touched your heart? They were like, what? My heart? They're so used to living in their heads.
Right.
Have you seen a lot of people like that, especially at the end of their careers when they don't feel fulfilled?
Well, a lot of times you see it as a midlife crisis too.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but I also see it at the end of career where, and in fact, one of the most dangerous times for people is whenever they retire because their health can diminish because they feel like they've lost meaning and purpose because the work has given them that.
That's right.
That's been their source of identity. That's been their source of meaning. That's been their source of feeling good about themselves and contributing to the world. All of those things are important. But again, if you put the cause ahead of the effect ahead of the cause, or you don't know the cause, then you're just living in a world of effects. And when those effects go away, there's an emptiness.
Well, that's exactly right. I look at, I've worked with NFL players who love the adrenaline of the game.
Right.
I've worked with performers who are used to being on stage or former speakers who get a lot of accolades and then they kind of age out or they lose their job or they're no longer. That sales also does that. It's a high adrenaline. Media, everybody in the media is an adrenaline junkie. And so when those things end, it is so devastating. It is like a big part of their meaning and I think what they believed purpose. So is your job ever your purpose or is it something else?
Well, your job is an expression of your purpose.
Okay.
And purpose, by the way, it touches every aspect of your life. So it touches your health. It touches your mental well-being. It touches your emotional state. It touches, it informs every aspect, your finances, your social. So at some level, work is but one slice of that larger piece. Mm-hmm. I think of purpose as the golden thread that integrates internally the person and then externally when it comes to work, social, citizenship, whatever that may be, it is also an integrating force there. So again, I use integrating. A lot of people talk about balance, trying to do work-life balance. Work-life balance is a mythology. It's because what's going on is you're separating things, but the real goal is you want to live an integrated life, not a balanced life. And that integration it takes work to do that. It takes thought. It takes intentionality. However,
is that meaning that you're bringing the meaning and the passion to your job, or is it that you take more separate and compartmentalize and take time to do your purpose outside of your job and your regular duties?
No, you're doing purpose all the time. You're always on purpose.
Oh, okay.
You can be on your deathbed and be on purpose.
Okay.
So it really has no time or place. It just has the opportunity to be present in the moment. And so we have this opportunity now to begin. That's why I said is a lot of people see purpose as what they're doing as opposed to who they are. And who you are, whether you're driving down the road, whether you're doing a radio show, whether you're coaching somebody as a charisma coach.
Yeah.
Or you're in a relationship with somebody that you love or care about.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of things that that expression of purpose is always present.
When you meet somebody that has that, you can tell there's an energeticness about them. They are able to make better decisions. They just seem like they're not going to, they just show up differently. They don't waste a lot of time dilly-dallying around. And I think that's the real advantage for somebody, is to live with intention and to be able to not waste time. I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, because right now I'm in a very purposeful, very intentional place. I don't have time for people to waste my time. I don't want to come off rude. You know what I'm saying? But how do you advise somebody to do that if they're very on purpose, but now they're not easy to get to see or to be with? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think at some level, this is one of those things where you go back to your values in terms of, do you value relationships in that regard?
Which relationships?
You're selective about that. Your discernment is a big part of this. And how you choose your friends and how you choose the people you want to hang with. Admittedly, I will find that when you're on purpose, there is a certain amount of, let's call it, selectivity or intolerance for other people wasting your time.
Oh, yes.
However, I have found I choose to be as present as I can in those environments, even though my mind might be falling asleep in the background. My eyes are rolling back in my head, but I'm still looking at them, if you will. But nevertheless, I do think that the beauty of that, though, is, again, if you look at each person as an on-purpose person in creation.
Yes, and they're God's creation.
What I tend to do is I try to move the conversation to asking them questions about themselves.
Okay, yeah.
And trying to understand sort of that God spark in them.
Oh, yeah, I love the God spark.
And whenever you find that, that's where you can find somebody that seems kind of boring or a waste of time. Actually, you can learn a lot from them, because most people have a lot of lessons.
Oh, yeah. I've been in that boring space. There's plenty of times when I was in a boring space and I'm like, who wants to talk to me right now? Anyway, we're talking to Kevin McCarthy, who's the creator of OnPurpose.me. He's the author of many books, including Tough Shift, Seriously Good Change, and The On Purpose Person. We're going to take a quick break and visit with our amazing sponsors. And we will be right back in a few minutes with The Mary Gardner Show and Kevin McCarthy. So be right back.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner. I am so excited that we are having such a fun conversation today. I am here in the studio with Kevin McCarthy. He is the author and the expert and the founder and creator of OnPurpose.me, and we are talking purpose. Guess who else is in the studio with me today? Is my amazing mother, who is here for the very first time, Eileen. She's sitting over in the corner, and she nodded after we got our first segment. She thought I was doing well. So I'm really excited that she's here, and it is a pleasure to be working with a new producer today, Pete. And Pete is our general manager here at Salem. So thank you, Pete. Glad to see you guys. We're talking purpose, and we are talking about passion also. Kevin McCarthy has been doing this for 30 years. He and I have known each other for a long time, and I ran into him the other night in the store, and I was like, I've got to have you on my show, because everybody is feeling so lost right now. And there are people that are our age, maybe, that are feeling stuck. Some people are feeling overlooked. I'm working currently with an 83-year-old gentleman who is looking for his next step. He's still passionate about life. What is the first thing? Do you just ask them, what's your purpose? Or how do you start getting somebody to start zeroing in on purpose, on passion, on intention, things like that? Because so many are feeling this.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, I have a simple tool that helps people articulate their two-word purpose statement. But before we had that tool, I would often ask people about what breaks your heart.
Oh.
Because passion is a word that has been lost in our society in terms of its real meaning. Mm. Passion is a word that actually means to suffer.
Okay.
And what happens is most people think of passion as joy, and they're enthused and they're happy and all of that. It's that, but it comes back to the Passion Week in the liturgical churches, which is the week where Jesus goes between the Palm Sunday and Easter Day.
Okay.
And the Passion Week is where he is crucified.
Yeah.
And so what happens is most people want to live in the resurrection, but not the crucifixion.
Wow.
So passion really means the suffering.
Mm.
So what are you willing to suffer for that is so important?
Mm.
And that tends to give people that would give me an entrance into
so
having
beautiful.
A discussion about what is meaningful to them. And then we would talk about why is that meaningful to you?
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, what you'll find is there is a trauma somewhere in their life, whether in childhood, teenage years, 20s, 30s, whatever, that they look at it and say, I don't want anybody else to ever have to deal with that, or I know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to be very close to their passion.
Yeah.
Where most people will think like, oh, I love to paint, or I love to dance, or I love to do that. You know, all of those things are great entertainment and fun and all of that. But at some level, when you get to what breaks your heart, you're getting close to what is really true, because purpose, again, is symbolized by the heart.
Yeah.
And so when you're close to your heart, and the heart of your heart is that peace that's in there.
I love that. I've never heard it explained like that, that is suffering. And we do know that Jesus did die. And here as a Catholic, we go through that season of the Passion and be in acknowledgement of his suffering and then resurrection for sure. So that's a really good analogy. I think of so many people that with this gentleman that I spoke to the other day, who is suffering because he's still stuck in left brain success mode and achieving money and accolades and things like that. And when I asked him, you know, what are things that have really, it was a similar kind of question, that you've really enjoyed or loved, something that may have not been affiliated, there were times that he had done charity work that really just brought him to a place of softness. I saw his whole face and demeanor change.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I said, oh my goodness, you are a different person. He's a different person. And as a speech coach, when I'm working with someone, I need to see all of that on stage. If someone's so mechanical and data-driven and resource-oriented and left brain, just logical, it's boring for the audience, because what helps all of us, I think, is to be able to tap into the different sides of our personality and to be able to share with that. And people are going to relate to us in different ways. What would you tell the 83-year-old who has done so many things? I've had one session with him, and he is a bright, shining star, and he's doing a million things being facilitating. And he's looking, what is that thing? I know he's looking for purpose.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting aspect. As many early, about 35 years ago when I first started doing this on purpose work, I would ask people, or people would say to me, my purpose is to make a difference. And I sort of said, no, that's too generic.
Yeah.
We're all called to sort of do that.
Right.
But one of the things I recognize is a lot of times you can ask somebody, how do you think you're making a difference or have made a difference in the world? And what I've come to realize is to make a difference means in math that you have something, you take away something, and the remainder is the difference. Mm. So what happens for most of us, we're too busy chasing too many squirrels and bright, shiny objects, and we have to subtract stuff. We have to prune stuff from us to get to the core of who we are, the core of our being.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, and the core of our activities. So again, this is one of those things where I would ask that person, where have you felt most meaningful, or where have you made the greatest difference, and what would it take to replicate that for you, and dig into what were the feelings that you had, what was going on, and get them to talk about that. And I have found that you can have some of the most hardened individuals, and if you get them to start talking about things, it's never my intention to bring somebody to tears.
Yeah.
But you will start to see tears emerge.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because absolutely. Nobody has ever cared to ask them or to probe that way without being, I'm not a psychologist or I'm not a counselor or a therapist, but I have just found over the years that if you take a genuine interest in a human being
absolutely.
And you ask meaningful questions,
yeah.
they want to be heard. We all want to be heard.
Everybody does. I love, yeah. No, that's right. And Mary Kay Ash said, imagine every person has a sign around their neck, make me feel important.
Yes.
You know, no, and asking is really, that's what a good coach does for sure. You said something earlier that about the suffering. And what about the people that now are very politically involved and everything's making them suffer? And now they've tarnished their heart and now they're just angry because I meet those people also.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what happens is when your world becomes, when your identity, I mean, think about it, we have identity politics.
Yes, I think it is identity.
And so what happens is when your politics becomes your identity, you are basically, or if your brand of handbag becomes your identity, or if you're wearing a certain pair of shoes, or you're driving a certain car, or you have a certain title, if that becomes your identity, you are basically worshiping idols.
Oh, wow.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So what happens is if you think of God as the source of your identity.
Yeah.
And if politics are the source of your identity, you are really at high risk.
Oh.
And so what I try to do is help people come back to who are you really?
Mm-hmm.
And that is your identity. That's who you are, not your politics, all the other stuff is just sort of window dressing at that point.
It is. And one of the individuals that I met recently said, if you're not angry, what's going on in the world, you are complacent. And I said, well, or it's like a stream that comes across a rock. It goes around it and finds another way. And people that are innovative. I mean, you think about Elie Wiesel, who was in the Holocaust. He only had one thing, and he was able to control his mind and his attitude. And so many people, you're always going to come across all of these challenges. But I see so many people letting it destroy their life right now. And how do we just encourage people to get back to the real source, which is God?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, this is one of those things where you can stay in anger or you can choose to go to a place of peace. But
if you go to peace, is that meaning that you don't care about the children in Africa who are starving?
It doesn't mean that. It just means that you're at peace with them. In fact, if you think about it, who would you sooner have making decisions for you? Somebody who's angry and disgruntled or somebody who's peaceful and thoughtful? I mean, because what happens is when we're angry, there's cortisol's running through our bodies. Our brains are washed. Our brains are scrambled. We're in our mammal state when we're angry. In fact, I once was working with somebody and who was a psychologist, and they were saying that when you're angry, it takes 20 minutes to get out of that brain and get back into your frontal lobe.
Oh, man.
So what happens is if somebody's angry, they're making a decision as an animal, not as a human.
Yeah.
Where somebody who's peaceful, and I mean genuinely peaceful, I've come across a lot of people who are sort of fake their peacefulness.
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually really, really angry people underneath. And it doesn't take long to uncover that to be revealed.
Yeah.
And so at some level, this idea of how do you find a peaceful existence? Well, I mean, we have the Prince of Peace.
Can you find it without knowing the Lord or God?
You can. I do believe, again, that you can. This is where purpose is so important because it anchors your identity. Because I do a lot of work with both individuals and organizations that are Christian and, let's say, I'm secular.
Okay.
And as a result, what I found is that there can be a peace that passes all understanding. We may not understand why we're peaceful, or we may not have an understanding of faith and all of that's going on, but at some level, every person was designed to be, in essence, a child of God, and they may tap into that without knowledge, without awareness or consciousness.
I think that's so important, and I have a tool. I remember being in 9/11 in New York City, and there were so many people that day, and including one of my best friends that didn't show up and be in the World Trade Center that day. And I wrote an article after that no matter where you are, that's where you're supposed to be if you have faith. And so being able to go back to a time where you didn't know what the results are going to be, or something bad happened and you find out later, like if you take a wrong turn and you're going going around something and somebody else had a car accident. So you might be diverting. So if you do truly have the belief and anchor that God is in control and that he is protecting you and taking care of you at all costs, then you can relax a little bit. So we're talking right now with Kevin McCarthy, and we're talking about purpose and passion in life. We're talking about how you can change your life and make your life on purpose right now, today. And we're going to be talking about a tool that Kevin offers on onpurpose.me. And again, he's the author of Tough Shift, Seriously Good Change. We're going to take a quick break and be with our sponsors. This is Mary Gardner of The Mary Gardner Show, and we will be right back. I can't wait to see you.
Sharpen your voice, refine your brand with The Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary of The Mary Gardner Show, and we are talking to Kevin McCarthy. And of course, you also know that my mom, Eileen, is in the studio today. So we are in this new studio, and we are all squished in, and we are having fun together. It's been great. We're talking to Kevin, who is the founder of OnPurpose.me. And Kevin, I know that you have a tool that will help people zero in. We're talking all about it. And people are like, yeah. Let's get to the point. What's the tool? How do we do it? And I did it years ago, and you reminded me, or maybe it was a year or two ago, you reminded me of my purpose statement, and I looked it up, and it's still on target. I was so excited. So tell us about the tool. How do people find it?
Well, the tool is at onpurpose.me. I mean, our website is onpurpose.com, which will also lead you to the tool. But the bottom line is what happens is we all have a generic start to our purpose statement, which is I exist to serve by. And then there's two words. The first word is an active verb, often called a gerund, that ends with an ing. So it says, and then the second word is a what we'll call a positive characteristic. So, for instance, in your case, here's an example. Okay. I exist to serve by liberating greatness is your two-word purpose statement that you came up with.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you, Mary?
I looked it up, and it basically is uncovering liberating greatness. What I do is I help people uncover the things that are not working in their life and zero in. It's like an artist with a sculptor and finding their best self, where they're going to be performing at their best. They're going to be happiest. They're going to have direction in life, and they're going to make money because it's something that will make them productive. And so I help people take away the deficits and add or do more of the things that are their natural talent, gift, and passion.
Okay, and I can do some coaching with you now.
Okay.
Okay, so that's awesome. First of all, the story you just told reminds me of the old story of Michelangelo, where somebody said to him, when you carved out David, when you sculpted David, how did you know he was in that block of marble? And he said, all I did was remove what wasn't David.
100%, because you can see it. Yes.
Right. And so what you're really looking at is much the same way, as you're trying to liberate out of that block of marble that people feel like they're stuck in, if you will.
Yes.
That's a visual for you in that regard.
And that is exactly what happens. I can see people at their highest level.
Okay. Now, the power of a purpose statement, though, is it's first between you and God.
Okay.
So I'm not, again, we're live on the radio.
Go
here,
for
so
it. Totally
but
open.
But at some level, you look at it and say, at what point in your life was your greatness not liberated? And God came along and set you free. It liberated you.
Okay. That was so beautiful. Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
I was underperforming as a mother, and I did not know how to handle a child that was out of the box. And I was frustrated and angry and upset that he was born premature and ended up having a few issues here and there that were very, very, took me off my path. And I had no clue what to do. Also, there was a marital issue. And the very first thing I did was I was so desperate. I said, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. And then as a Catholic, I started doing some prayer. I couldn't even remember how to pray. And I started doing the Lord's Prayer and the Hail Mary. I would grab my son's hand. I'd say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. God, you know, our Father who art in heaven. We would just say these prayers over and over and over. And step by step by step, we got out of this drudgery and I started taking control and started helping my son in a way that made him succeed. And so I was a baby. That's what happened. And I had to get out of that baby zone.
Yes. And see, so what's going on is whenever I asked you that question about, was there a time in your life where your greatness needed to be liberated? The first thing you did was you went,
yes,
that's the breath of God.
Oh.
That is the inspiration of the Spirit,
yes,
that's going on.
Amen.
You recognize that.
Yes.
And
amen.
So at some level, what's happening,
that's right,
is that then, if you think about it, your son was in a block of marble because you were in a block of marble.
For sure.
Your marriage was in a block of marble.
Yes.
And what you've done is over the decades now, you have sculpted, you have chiseled.
Yes.
Chisel is a word that is the root of character.
Mm.
So you have been chiseling away at,
yes,
your own character, but God,
yes,
has done that for you and with you.
Yes.
So what's happening is your greatness was liberated through God.
Yes.
In turn, you had to be willing to receive that.
Yes.
And in turn, that is why you're so passionate.
Yes.
Using passion as you're willing to pay the price.
Yes.
For others to be able to experience that.
Amen.
As well.
And when you go through that, then you realize you're not afraid of anything.
Right.
Because you've gone through the intense pain. You have been, you know, knocked down to size many, many, many times. That's why I don't understand. Well, I do understand. They haven't been through a painful point where they were smashed on the floor and had nowhere to go. There was no atheist in foxhole. So I, right, potentially before that was just living my life. No big deal. Oh, yeah, I go to church, but probably wasn't living it like I needed to, or that was going to bring me, you know, that purpose. So, yes, it's taken years to develop that character. And now I have a sense of freedom because I understand, I know who I am. But that painful time that I just choked, boy, yeah, that was impressive.
And
impressive.
As a,
yeah,
result of that, you feel peace.
Yes.
In any circumstance.
Yeah.
See, that's the part where,
yeah,
if our identity is, yeah, is in who gets elected for whichever office, whichever party you're for, if that's where your identity is and that doesn't work out, you're in a living hell at that point.
Oh, for sure.
But if you look at it and,
yeah,
go, you know what, that's the world out there. That's,
yeah,
what's going on.
Yeah.
Now I can back off because, mm, you know what? I know who I am. I know whose I am.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore,
yeah,
you know,
that's
what?
A hard,
I can be at
that's
peace.
A hard place though. Cause now, you know, economy is hit and a lot of people are suffering and I've taken a hit in my business here and there. And so I've taken on a lot of different projects and I'm working more hours. It doesn't mean because you have peace that you stop working hard.
Right.
Like I'm working harder,
oh, right,
than I have,
right,
you know, for a long time. You also have to keep up to date and learn things. Now in the world of AI and with all the resources that we have, it can be overwhelming for anybody. And so I still think being able to go back to your place of purpose and peace and to take time for that, you know, your spiritual side, take time to take care of your body, all those kind of things, super important when you're in a stressful place.
Yeah, and so when you look at it now from a work point of view,
yeah,
if you think about it, is all of your work integrates back to liberating greatness. So again, you can, if you begin to now look at,
yeah,
it and say, who are the people that I, see out there that,
yeah,
are caught in blocks of marble?
Oh man, do I see that? Yeah.
Who I want to be a part of an instrument,
yeah,
of chiseling away the marble,
yeah,
with them.
That's right.
Now we've got to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
But it helps to have a guide.
Oh, for sure. I've been doing that. I've gone back over the last, we have got an upcoming Storycraft Summit, which I curate. I look at the right people who could really benefit. So what you're saying is absolutely true. There are a lot of people that are engineers and they're fine. They have no desire to be on stage, to be able to communicate better. That's fine. I really zero in on experts or CEOs that are doing brand ambassador work or people who are nonprofits or have their own business that really would benefit from being one to many. So being on stage, mm-hmm, in front of a lot of people and being able to be effective. When you're an entrepreneur, there's so many areas that you have to work on, or in business rather. And leadership is one of those things. There's so many different,
right,
components of leadership. And this is a small component, that charisma and getting somebody to be able to engage and to lead from a high style, you know, so people stay committed and loyal and excited for the vision of the leader. So it's a real specific thing that I do. I love it. I'm so good at it. I've worked with people in the White House, people that are in the U.S. Senate, politicians, NFL players, athletes, executives across the entire country and world, and I'll be doing it forever. I love it. It's so great. So I'm so glad, yeah, because the purpose, on purpose, when I did get your message again that I liberate, that's my purpose, is liberating greatness.
Liberating greatness. Again, remember the ing, liberating, so it means I was liberating, I am liberating, I will be liberating. So it's always active. Where if you just say liberate greatness,
okay,
that would be, you could do that one time and you're done.
Okay. Liberating greatness.
It's liberating. So okay, you make sure that ing is in there.
And I do think people come to a different place when they are, because you could be liberating greatness if you are a health coach and getting somebody to be physically fit. In my area, it's in leadership and or communication. But that's a great one for a lot of people who are coaches that are working with individuals or trainers or any kind of leaders or managers. Would be a great mindset to adopt to help people you know, just in their workforce.
Yeah, well, the onpurpose.me tool, it actually is preloaded with 32.
Okay. Give me some of the other ones that are popular.
Igniting joy, awakening worth, inspiring hope. So it's preloaded with 32. And we basically, what's going on is when people go in, they're experiencing a tennis tournament. I'm a I'm a former tennis pro.
Oh, that's right.
Teaching pro.
That's right.
And so I put these statements into a tennis tournament format, and they choose the one that is most meaningful. So that at the end, they come up with the two-word purpose statement that's most meaningful. Now, for people that do go to onpurpose.me and use the tool, I also do a live once a month.
Is it free?
It's $20.
$20. Oh, that's nothing.
And so, but they also get a course that follows up with it that explains. Okay. And we've got two versions. There's a secular version and then there's a Christian version. And that the only difference is not in the tool, but in the email series that comes afterwards.
Okay.
In the secular version, they get a series of emails, about 13 or 14 of them, called Poured Wisdom. And on the Christian one, they get something called Oneness in Christ. So the idea is that the Oneness in Christ one is that, you know, Jesus came and said, "I came that we might be one, like the Father and I are one." And so it is this integration, this bringing together of oneness that is so important to our well-being.
I love that.
And so that way they just run through the tennis tournament, and they come out with their unique two-word purpose statement. And
so
then if they
want to
work on it further, I've got a program called Refine Your Purpose that's included.
I'm going to get this tool for some of my clients because this is so simple, and so it's so fun to be able to delve in and to understand who we are, why we're here. And we're talking to Kevin McCarthy of onpurpose.me. I'm here in the studio again with my mom, Eileen, and Kevin and Mary Gardner. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back in just a minute and enjoy our sponsors. They are fantastic. We'll be back in just a minute and talk about On Purpose.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner, and we are talking to Kevin McCarthy today about On Purpose. This is such an important topic for all of us. And if you know somebody that needs to have passion and purpose in their life, and they're just going listlessly through their life, and they don't have that spark inside their eye, you've got to tell them to come to theanswerorlando.com and find this segment later, and or it'll be on my website, marygardner.com, because this is so important for all of us to live in a happy place. Could you imagine if everybody that we come across on social media and in the store or wherever it is at work is on purpose and happy? Wouldn't it be a better life? So, Kevin, this has been a super fun conversation for me. But what if people say, okay, this is really great, but I've got responsibilities, a job, family pressures. I can't stop everything to chase purpose. What are you going to do? What does an on-purpose life really look like?
Well, you're not actually chasing your purpose. It's in you.
Ooh.
So
okay,
it's not an external. It's embedded. It's part. I actually describe purpose as spiritual DNA.
Okay.
We all have physical DNA.
Is it similar to the spiritual gifts?
No, spiritual gifts would be sort of an equipping, if you will.
Okay.
That's unique to who we are.
Okay.
But if you think of purpose as just a spiritual DNA or a lump of gold, if you will, that's sort of a spiritual lump of gold. And then the gifts would be how it would be fashioned.
Okay.
You know, so it might take a different form for each person, if you will, is another way of thinking about that. So spiritual gifts are very important. And as are the gifts of the Spirit. So again, this is one of those things where you have this ability to take your purpose. And this is where I think free will is really important, because if you think of purpose as God's will for your life, but then we have free will, and then we're equipped with spiritual gifts, with abilities, with intellect, compassion, all of these different characteristics that we have, how we assemble those uniquely gives expression to our purpose. Or another way I like to think about it is purpose is also spiritual electricity. It's energy.
I love that.
Right.
It is energy.
It's energy.
Yeah.
And so when the purpose of the person and the purpose of the organization are aligned, that's where there's energy.
Right.
But if we have purpose and we're on our purpose, we have energy.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, the energy source, what is the source of the energy? Well, we can look at it and say God's the source of the energy.
Sure.
And interestingly, Jesus is a transformer. He takes the power of God, brings it to us in a way that we can handle it, because that's what a transformer does. It goes to the power station. It makes it so it's available for better use in individual capacities. So the studio that we're in, is if the power went out, the building would still be functioning, but we would be diminished in our ability to do what we're attempting to do.
Yeah.
As long as the power's on,
it's
still there. So a lot of people are running around building the building, putting in all the mics and all the things that are there, but the power's off.
Right. There's a lot of people with their power off.
Their power off. And so the light switch is the symbol of the on-purpose person. So when you're on your purpose, your light switch is turned on. The energy is there. When your light switch is off, it's down. So a lot of times I tell people, you know, surround yourself with people who are light switch turner oners, because there's a lot of light switch turner offers.
Yeah, for sure. We hear that all the time. What happens if a person does ignore their purpose? Because a lot of people that I work with are, they push, push, push. They succeed. They are high performers and they achieve. They stay busy. But still, I do believe something is off.
That's where if you really get through to them, what they're suffering with is the imposter syndrome.
I've heard that. I hear that a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hear it a lot too, in the sense that somebody, or what they're saying is something in my life feels off, or I'm, whenever I retire, I will.
Yeah.
They're living into the future, but they're not living into the present.
Right.
And so as a result, they're faking it till they're making it, but they've become so good at faking it that they've forgotten who they are.
It's so hard. And what you had said earlier, that a lot of them have had trauma at some point. I have discovered that a lot of the high achievers have had a lot of trauma, and they keep covering things up by just achieving more.
Right.
And so that's when they get all of the accolades or all of the degrees behind their names, and they just don't stop. They're driven to succeed. But What about when people are burned out, disconnected, they don't know why? How can you just say, hey, you need God? You can't do that. Like, how do you actually introduce that conversation?
Well, first of all, let me pick up on something you talked about. We are not purpose-driven. We are purpose-called.
Oh, okay.
That's a real distinction. I know that Rick Warren's book is out there called The Purpose-Driven Life. It's it's a great book in terms of a devotional, but we are not driven. We are not purpose-driven. And when we understand that our purpose is, if you think of it as identity, how God calls us is through our purpose. He doesn't drive us.
Okay.
He calls us. So that's one thing. In terms of answering your question, in terms of when somebody is unaware, I don't talk. I meet people where they are.
Okay.
And I just talk to them and say, you know, tell me, what's your spiritual background?
Yeah.
What are your beliefs?
Yeah, I do that too.
And they'll share.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, well, I'm a recovering Roman Catholic, or I'm a Jew who's non-practicing, or I'm a New Ager, or and I look at it and say, but do you acknowledge that there's something bigger than you? And if they're willing to acknowledge there's something bigger than them going on, I take that spiritual piece.
Yeah.
And I run with it. I think about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well.
Yeah.
where he says, I can give you water so you'll never be thirsty again. Mm-hmm. And so at some level, there's, I think, our ability as people of faith to have what I call living water language, which is the ability to meet people where they are and have a conversation.
That's beautiful.
And the Samaritan woman at the well is the perfect example of how Jesus would handle it.
And
not
that's
Kevin.
How Jesus was. Exactly. He wasn't only with the, you know, with the powers that be and the one on stage. He was with everybody. And so I've always taken that attitude also. And I know that there are a lot of people right now that need faith. And because there is so much depression and there's so much anxiety, even the youth, and there's so many people on anti-anxiety medication, it's just a really, really difficult time. How does it, if you are a leader, and we just have a quick minute because I'm going to do another segment here in a second, but how does knowing your knowing your purpose impact the way you lead?
Well, first of all, if a leader knows who they are, then they're far less defensive and they don't need to take credit.
Yeah.
They put cause ahead of effect. So it's and the other aspect of leadership, something that I'm really working on right now a lot is, and in a book I wrote called Chief Leadership Officer, I reference it.
Saw that.
But it's the concept of stewardship leadership.
Okay.
A lot of people talk about servant leadership, but stewardship leadership is really, it's a very different, nuanced concept.
I love that concept. Are they going to be able to find that at your website also?
I'm working on it.
You're going to be
on a book. I'm working on a book right now,
okay,
and I'm also looking at maybe developing a community around it.
I love that. It's so great. We're going to take a little break right now and go to a section called You Rock, which is
exciting. You Rock.
All right, the You Rock section is really special, Kevin, because I had a brother who passed about 8 years ago, Terry, and Terry was the biggest encourager ever, and he saw me go through all those difficult times, and he would always tell me, Mary, don't forget, you rock. You need to be happy. You rock. You're the best. So I want to acknowledge somebody every segment that I do this. I acknowledge somebody, and then I'm going to ask you too. So today, I've done this before, but I'm going to tell my mother, Mom, you rock. You are in the studio with me. I know you were tired today, and you got up and you went to a rock concert with me last night. My mother is 95 years old. You got she went to a rock concert. She is there, still dedicated, still being the best mother in the world. I love you with all my heart, Mom. You rock. Kevin, you're up.
Well, I've got a friend of mine named Gordy Allen, and Gordy is in his 80s, and he has been a friend and now a brother for 35 years or so. And he is perhaps one of the biggest supporters, advocates, the on-purpose person in my first book. He attended a seminar I did out at Canterbury Conference Center when it was around, and it was it changed his life. And as a result, Gordy just continues to pour into my life. We all need people. I don't care who you are, where you are. You need somebody to pour into your life, and he does that for me.
Gordy, you're the best. You rock, Gordy.
You rock, Gordy.
All right. Well, this has been such a powerful conversation today, and here's what I want you to take away today, is that you don't have to live confused, you don't have to feel stuck, and you don't have to wonder if there is more, because there is. And sometimes the difference between drifting and thriving comes down to clarity. Clarity of who you are, clarity of why you're here, and clarity of your purpose. And if you want to discover your purpose in just two words, go to Kevin McCarthy's website, onpurpose.me. That's onpurpose.me. And Kevin, I'd love to give you the final word before we leave today.
Sure. Let me play a little bit with that stewardship leadership that we were talking about, because I think the stewardship is really important, because the difference between stewardship leadership and servant leadership is a steward is charged with a responsibility and has the means to act on behalf of the owner. They have agency, where a servant is obedient. And so what I would encourage you to do is begin to look at your life and see your life through the world of being a steward of all that God has given you, including your purpose, including your family, including your work. And stewardship is the way to go. In terms of taking care of yourself and those around you and the work that you've been gifted to do.
Amen. Amen. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been a pleasure having you in studio today. This is Mary Gardner and the Mary Gardner Show. And if you have any questions for me, please visit me, mary@marygardner.com, or my website, marygardner.com. We've got our sponsors there. We've got opportunities for you, and would love an opportunity to talk to you about your life and your leadership, your communication, and your charisma. Thank you again, Kevin. God bless everybody listening today. Thank you, my mama, for being here in the studio. And I hope that you are all having a beautiful day. And we look forward to getting to know you as you continue your life on purpose. Thank you. And don't forget, stay inspired. God bless.